Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the book of Nehemiah. Spent a lot of time at Emmanuel Baptist Church down through the years. It's good to see some of the same faces that have been here all along, and it's good to see some new faces too, amen? And I understand there's some faces that have been sick and couldn't be here. So even more faces than what we recognize today. But anyway, just excited about what God's doing here, and excited that you all are a part, and just continue to work with your preacher and do all you can for the glory of God. Amen. And do all you can to fill this place up, and excited about your plans. I don't know the details, but I'm excited to see what y'all are going to do in here. Anytime we can put our best foot forward for the Lord, I think it's a good thing. Amen. A lot of times when it comes to the Lord's work, when it comes to the things of God, so often He gets the leftovers. And that just shouldn't be that way. Your church looks good as it is. This building looks pretty good today to me, okay? I'm excited. Like I say, I believe it'll be absolutely stunning when y'all are done. But so many times, anything's okay for God's eye. It's just the church. You know, our little leftover cash. You know, I got a few bucks in my pocket. I can spare that in the offering. You know, hey, you need something for the missionary? I got some old worn out stuff that we can't use. You know, we'll give that to the Lord's work. You know, when it comes to the house of God, a lot of times, you know, we would hire a professional for our house. We weren't done right, but for God's house, that's all right. You know, the wall's kind of bumpy, you know, but it's a wall. I mean, you know, hey, it keeps the bugs out, keeps the heat in. You know, it's all right. So I'm excited about y'all doing what you can to spruce up the house of the Lord and the priority you have on worshiping the Lord we call it discipleship. Y'all are into. Pastor, share a little bit with that with me about that. And I'm excited about that. That's good. I told him that's one area that I think as a whole, fundamental Baptists are dropping the ball in that area of growth in our young Christians. Well, the first area we mess up on is soul winning. Now there are churches that are going great guns soul winning. But the average Baptist church, you don't see many folks saved. And you can say, well, we live in a hard area, or it's the times, or, you know, whatever, you blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. But most of the time it's right here. You know, I'm not telling as many people as I should. And we all could raise our hands there, you know. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And that's one reason why we don't see as many folks saved. But then when we do see them saved, so many times we just let them go. And then we say, they probably weren't saved anyhow. They probably made a profession to get me off their doorstep, you know. And where the problem lies with us, we've never, you know, we wouldn't do that with a little baby. You know, we wouldn't do that with our kids. No, we'll go the extra mile to make sure that they get the nourishment that they need so they can grow. So why we do that with our new converts? But anyway, I don't know how I got off on all that, but I'm excited about what you folks are doing here. And you just keep up the good work, preacher, and church. Let's keep going for the cause of Christ. Amen. Now the devil will do all he can to get us sidetracked. All right. And if you look with me here in Nehemiah chapter 6, if you have your place in the scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word tonight? Nehemiah 6, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Try to do something for God. Build a wall, build a church, win souls, disciple Christians, sing. Anything you try to do for God, the devil will do his best to get you off track and to get you to stop what you're doing, to get you to put it aside and focus on something else. Title of the message tonight, Persistent Distractions. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd just meet with us tonight. We sense your presence already, but God, I pray that you'd help us through this the next several minutes here, Lord, that you'd give us something from your word to be a help to us. Lord, I pray our hearts would be prepared to receive it, and Lord, that we would do our best to stay focused on the work that you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you again for this church and for what they've meant to us, to our family through the years. And Lord, I pray you continue to bless them, bless the work here, and we'll thank you. Now, Lord, I need you. I pray you touch me. I just want to be a blessing to these folks, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Nehemiah is trying to get something done. Amen. Trying to build the wall, and he has accomplished a lot. I mean, at this time, he's got the wall completely built, no breach in the wall, just hasn't put the gates on yet. Of course, a walled city without gates still isn't very secure. Amen. So we've got to finish the job. You know, kind of like getting the building built, but we haven't put the doors on yet. You know, it's nice to have a place to get in out of the rain, but we need the doors too. And that's kind of where they were. And of course, Sanballat and his crowd, they had been opposing him all along and tried to get him to quit. They'd tried several times to get them sidetracked, to get them distracted from the work of God. And hey, it's not worked. Here they hear that the walls are built, the walls are all together, no breach in the walls. I didn't think they'd ever get to that point, but they did. So he pulls out all the stops. Whatever we can do to get them distracted from finishing this job. It's one thing to start a job, but quite another to finish one. Amen? Yeah. And that's what Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. We've got to not only start doing good work for God, we've got to finish, amen? We've got to stay with it and get it done. So they call him, and it says here in verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. That sounds like a good idea. Why don't we just meet and we'll just discuss a few things? I'm not asking you to do anything, not asking you to cease the labor, we're not asking you to do anything wrong. Let's just chat a little bit. Let's sit down and talk over a cup of coffee. Everybody likes a cup of coffee, amen? You know, let's just sit down and fellowship a little bit, you know, and we'll discuss a few things, and then maybe I'll even compliment you on the good work you did on building the wall, you know, and we'll just, but they thought to do me mischief. Anytime the devil offers you something good, trust me, he's trying to do you mischief, okay? You be careful. You be real, real careful about that. It's like the bright lights, you know, downtown. You know, you go downtown and it's just, man, it's just alluring. Oh, wow, they're having a good time in there. Look at that. Wow, I want to get in on. Making it look good, but be careful. Be careful. The ads you see and for alcohol and they make it look good. Almost makes you want to take a drink. See, will that do that for me? You know what? And wow, no, it's the devil trying to deceive you. And Sanballat was trying to deceive the man of God. And there comes a point, if we've been saved any length of time, you ought to have enough spiritual maturity to recognize when the devil's trying to act underhanded and get at you from some other angle. I mean, obviously, folks, let's face it. If he showed up in Sunday morning in his red suit with the horns and the pitchfork, oh, I guarantee you, I won't ask right now, but I wonder how many are carrying concealed. You do him in before he ever got in the door. He knows better than that. So he's subtle. He's always been subtle. He was subtle with Eve. He was with Eve back in the garden. He's always been that way. And so he told Sam Ballard, hey, Sam Ballard, you tried. Let's try this. See if you can get them distracted. Just come out of town here for a little bit, and we'll have a meeting in one of the villages. He saw through it. He knew what was going on. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Good question. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? What do you got that's more important than what I'm doing for God? You got anything more important than a work for God? Really? Anything? Folks, I don't know what you're doing for God today, but it's a great work. If you're doing something for God, it's a great work. Why should you leave the great work that God has for you to do and come away, get involved in the devil's distraction? But it's not a bad thing. Preacher, I'm not going to drink alcohol. I'm not going to do anything bad. I mean, I'm just going to... Wait a minute. They weren't proposing anything bad either. But it was a distraction from the great work.
Yes.
That they had to do. Okay, they had a great work. Folks, you're doing a great work here. Glory to God. Why would you allow the devil to get you distracted from the work that God has given you to do? You say, well, Brother Black, we got our lives to live. Yeah, I understand that, but our lives ought to revolve around the work of God. I'm not saying necessarily the church, but just in a general sense. Hey, before I do a little painting on the side, okay? It helps make ends meet, you know, in between meetings and whatnot. And I'll pick up a little bit of painting, a residential, paint a bedroom or whatever. I'll call myself the painting preacher. So whatever I can do, your pastor tries to pick up a little work, you know. And by the way, whenever it's possible, make him full time here. Make this his priority. All right, do that for him. That'll be a blessing for you in the long run. It's sad that so many of God's men have to divide their focus so many ways. But anyway, we need to be focused on the work of God. Well, like I started to say, yeah, I do a little painting, but really, number one, I'm a Christian, okay? And under the umbrella of being a Christian, I'm an evangelist. And under the umbrella of the evangelist has to eat and pay the bills, so I do a little painting. But I'm a Christian. I'm always a Christian. I'm always a Christian. I'm a Christian whether I'm running a paint roller or cutting in around the window. I'm a Christian when I'm taking my car to get an oil change. I'm a Christian at the grocery store. I'm a Christian at the pharmacy. I'm a Christian in the doctor's office. I'm a Christian. And I'm not going to let the things of the world get me distracted from being a Christian.
Amen.
Folks, you've got a responsibility to be a Christian. I don't care where your life takes you. You say, well, I've got a life to live. I understand. But as you live your life, you're a Christian. By the way, Christians tell folks about Jesus. Christians carry gospel tracts in their pocket. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Or in your purse, ladies. Don't ever leave the house without gospel tracts. Seriously, don't ever leave the house without gospel tracts in your pocket. You probably heard me say it before, but I won't even own a shirt without a pocket. I might own one, but I won't wear it. It hangs in the closet. My kids got me one. The world's greatest dad. That's a great shirt, but it doesn't have a pocket. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm the greatest dad, man. But I can't wear it. I can't wear it out of the house because it doesn't have a place for gospel tracts. And now the older I get, I also need a place for, well, I've got a jacket pocket here, but when I'm not wearing a jacket, I've got to have a place for my glasses or I lose my way home. Anyways. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, number one, we're a Christian. And don't let the world, don't let the devil distract you from the work that God has given you to do. You got to work here at the church. I mean, so many things. Singing in the choir. Praise the Lord for your choir. I understand a lot of folks were sick and whatnot. You were unable to have a choir today, and those things happen. But I wonder how many times the devil might try to get you to skip choir practice or skip out on church when your place is in the choir. Doing work for God. Amen? Ladies on the instruments, what a blessing. I'm in churches that don't have anybody to play the piano. And very few churches have anybody to play an organ. Thank God, sister. I appreciate what you do playing the organ. That's great.
Amen.
You know, but so easy to be distracted from the work that God's given us to do. Not that we're doing bad things, but we're not doing what God has given us to do. And you see, the devil doesn't give up easy. He tries and tries and tries to get us to stop. It said in verse 4, yet they sent unto me four times after the sword. Four times. Just continually, persistent. I don't want you doing that. Let's get you off onto something else. I mean, he'll do whatever he can. He'll get you to skip church. Now, hey, you might get together with some friends Saturday night. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to fellowship. It's a good thing to have a party. You know, I mean, as long as you're doing everything legal and proper and you're not partaking of anything you shouldn't, have a party. Have your friends. That's a great thing, okay? But it could be a distraction. It keeps you up late on Saturday night, and then we sleep in on Sunday morning. And, uh-oh. Devil won one there, didn't he? You know what I'm saying? Just a little thing. But realize where these are coming from. It's the devil's plan to get you out of God's work. It's the devil's plan to get you to stop doing what you need to be doing. Maybe there's something that you just love. I mean, really, really interests you. And wouldn't you know, there's a documentary going to be on television Sunday evening. Oh, I want to know more about this. Well, that man would be rich. That would help me. That'd make me a better Christian. If I understood this better, I might run across somebody else that's into the same thing, and they'd give me something. Give me something in common, and I'd be able to witness to them. I think I'll watch. It's a distraction. Recognize it for what it is. Devil trying to distract you from the house of God. Recognize what it is. I mean, they'll come from all angles, and it's a good thing to make money, isn't it? Well, thank the Lord for folks that make money. Preacher, it's a wonderful thing when folks make money. Church members, what? Make the money, bring the tithe. Make the money, bring the tithe. Amen? And bring an offering every now and then. Glory to God. Amen? We use it. We need that. And pay the bills. Get and do more for God. Now, I'm going to make some money. Got an opportunity to make a little extra. They'll pay me double time if I work on Sunday. You know what? Wait a minute. Is the devil doing some work behind the scenes here somewhere? Where am I supposed to be on Lord's Day?
Right.
But hey, if I make some extra money, the church can use it. Wouldn't surprise me if you saw something you wanted and you bought a toy instead. The church never got any of it. That's just the way the devil works, all right? Yeah. Don't let the devil distract you from doing right. Don't let the devil distract you. He'll do all he can to hinder you. Reading your Bible. Reading your Bible every day. Oh, so easy. So the devil, well, that's one area that he can distract most of us. Again, it might be the television. It might be a phone call. It could be any number of things. Honest, I had every intention of reading my Bible, but got distracted. Didn't get around to it. The church hadn't heard about these in years and years. Back when I was a kid, they had Round To It Sunday. And the church I was in not long ago, they're gearing up for a big Round To It Sunday. Everybody's going to get a little round coin, so it says get around to it, and it gives the name of the church, you know, on such and such a date. Round To It Sunday. You know, folks tell you, I'll come when I get around to it. All right, well, here's your round to it. Come to church. You know, I'll read my Bible when I get around to it. You know, we just need to get a box of round to its and carry them around with us, you know, so you got your round to it. Now read your Bible. But the devil will distract us and get us away from doing things like just simple, basic things that we need in our Christian growth if we're going to accomplish anything for God. You gotta have the Bible. You gotta be in the Word. We pride ourselves as Fundamental Baptists having the pure Word of God, our King James Bible. Why? You know, we'll die for that, but we won't take time to read it. Get in the book. Don't let the devil distract you from the Word of God. Telling folks about Jesus, carrying the gospel tracts. I know you all don't have a bus now, but maybe one of these days you'd get one. You got a van. Hey, you got a backseat in your car. How about start a backseat ministry? Graduate to a van ministry, and then glory to God, you start bringing in five or six kids in the back seat of your car, and I guarantee you, the preacher will find some way to get you a van. You start bringing in 20 kids on a 15 passenger van, and we'll find you a bus. Amen.
Amen.
It's so easy to get distracted, but I got things to do Saturday morning. I mean, just Saturday morning, that's the bus ministry, that's work time. I'm telling you, that's work time Saturday morning. I mean, you're out knocking doors, and I mean hours and hours. You don't build a bus ministry in an hour or two on a Saturday. You don't do it. I mean, it's a half day at least if you're gonna have a successful bus ministry. And then you're up early on Sunday morning to run that bus, and you get leftovers after everybody else is heading for the bed to get their Sunday afternoon nap. You're finally getting home to get some supper. It's hard work. It's hard work. And the devil will distract you. Saturday morning, when I could be out building a bus route, when I could be out inviting kids to come and ride in my back seat, I got Saturday morning cartoons to watch. They still play those. We don't even have a TV at our house. I don't know. What's more important? Go knocking on doors out in the cold or watch Bugs Bunny or whatever else they're playing these days. Persistent distractions. They keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And they don't let up. It could be maybe there's a habit in your life, a nasty habit that you've been working on. The Lord's convicted you of it. And morning, you get up in the morning and say, God, by your grace and with your help, I'm going to do right today. I'm going to make it all. I promise you, Lord, I'm going to make it all day. And I'm not going to step back into that old nasty habit. And the devil will throw something in your path. Get you off track. I had every intention of doing right today. And he throws up a distraction and we fall for it. Notice there verse 4 again. Yet they send unto me four times after this sort. I underlined this in my Bible. You might want to do the same. And I answered them after the same manner. I answered them after the same manner. What was his answer? In verse 3, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. So whatever you're doing for God, you might not think it amounts to a whole lot. But if you're doing it for God, it's a great work. I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Every time. Four times, and I answer them after the same manner. You see, the answer is always the same. No, I can't do that. No, it'd be great to get together with you. I'd love to fellowship with you, but not on a Saturday night because I'm going to get up Sunday morning. I don't want anything to hinder me from being in the house of God Sunday morning. So we don't do Saturday night things. I'm sorry. That doesn't work for us. That doesn't work for our family. Sunday afternoon. Oh, I just got up from the nap and thinking, well, I think I'm just about ready to go to church. And oh, I wonder who's here. You open the door and, well, it's Aunt Susie. Hadn't seen her in a long time. Well, come on in. I'm glad Aunt Susie came to visit. That's great. It's time to go to church. What's that? What's going on here? distraction. I remember as a kid, I thank God for a godly heritage, I do. I remember as a kid, we had family come over on a Sunday night one time, just like that. Just like that. Dad says, come on in. Now you need to know we're getting ready to go to church. You're welcome to come with us.
Amen.
If you'd rather not, feel free to stay. We'll be back. We'll be back in a couple hours. You can wait for us. Help yourself in the fridge. We'll be back in a couple hours. Or come on with us. We're going to church in a little while. Don't fall for the distractions of the devil. We got work to do. Number one, I'm a Christian. Don't let the devil distract you from being a Christian. Don't you lose your testimony over some little distraction that the devil puts in your path. No, you're a Christian. See, the answer is always the same. It's always the same. No, I can't. The Bible says, hey, can you work Sunday? Now, this is my conviction, okay? It may not be yours. But my personal conviction is Sunday is the Lord's Day, and I don't work on the Lord's Day. I've had that conviction. That was my dad's conviction, and I see the principle taught in the Word of God. I know we're not under the law. I understand that. But the Lord put her back in creation. He created in 6 days and created the earth, and he rested on the seventh day. And he told him one of the Ten Commandments is we ought to remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. I know Sunday is not the Sabbath. I understand that. I understand all of that. But I think the principle, it would be wise to follow that principle and give one day to the Lord. That's my personal conviction. And there have been times that, now I know, I'm on my own now. If somebody wants a house painted, I'm sorry, I'm not painting your house on Sunday. I'm just not. It's okay. You don't want me to do it, get somebody else to work on Sunday, that's fine. But I know when you work for somebody else, it's not always that easy. But one thing I did, whenever I applied for a job, it went right on the application, right in the interview, I mean, right off the bat. I mean, right up front, I told them, I'm a Christian, and I have a conviction against working on the Lord's Day. I don't work on Sundays. And that was just my conviction, I told them. And I come to find out that most of the time, the boss is looking for somebody with convictions.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I know some of these big corporations, they make the rules way above the guy you're talking to, and sometimes they can't bend the rules, and I understand that. But there are a lot of folks, and praise the Lord, we're in an economy, and today where you actually see help wanted signs out. I've seen a lot of, you probably have too, in the last several months. It's amazing. I think if you want a job, you can find one today. Some places may not, but I, like I said, I believe that the boss is looking for somebody with convictions. If you've got enough conviction that you would lose your job before you'd work a Sunday, you're probably not going to steal from the boss either. You're probably going to make a good employee. I think they take that into consideration. I remember one time I was working in a grocery store, and we were stocking shelves. We'd come in when the truck came in, and we'd work all night, stock the shelves. Well, they were working. I think we had like three or four trucks a week. I don't remember the days or any of that, but they changed the schedule, and now we were going to get a truck on Sunday night. And so the manager told me, he says, we're going to have to change the schedule. I need you to come in on Sunday night at 10 o'clock. Now, he knew I was a pastor at the time, but anybody still preaching 10 o'clock at night, he's not going to have a church congregation anyhow, So anyway, surely I can get there by 10 o'clock, but it's the Lord's Day. I mean, according to our calendar, that's our calendar runs from midnight to midnight, I mean, it's still the Lord's Day. So I told him, I says, Ty, I'm sorry, I just can't do that. My conviction, I don't work on Sunday. I'll tell you what I do, if it'd be okay with you, I'll come in at midnight, but I can't come in at 10. It's still the Lord's Day. That's fine. My bell started at 10. I came at midnight. He was fine with that. No problem. He appreciated the fact that it mattered to me. You see? And what I'm trying to say, Get some convictions and stand behind them. Amen. And don't let an opportunity to make a few extra bucks or whatever get you sidetracked, get you distracted from your testimony, from the work that God has for you to do. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, and beginning in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And Nehemiah wasn't the only one that the devil tried to distract. The devil went to the Son of God himself, went right to Jesus and tried to distract him. And what did Jesus say? Answer is always the same. It is written.
Yes.
Answer is always the same.
Amen.
You can try to tempt me with food. You can try to tempt me with glory. You can try to tempt, you tempt me any way you want. But the answer is always the same. The Word of God says no.
Right.
It's written. It is written. Would to God we knew the word like Jesus did. He's the author, amen?
Amen.
He can quote it cover to cover. And he can fire off a scripture to give an answer for every little temptation that came his way. Would to God that when the devil tried to tempt us, we could just quote the scripture and give an answer. It's written. Know your Bible. Talked a little bit about that in the Sunday school hour this morning, about being familiar with the sword. Know it. Get a feel for it.
Yeah.
Make it a part of your life. But the answer was always the same. Jesus didn't have to stop and think about it. Well, what you're offering me really wouldn't be all that bad. And I could probably do that and maybe nobody even know. He didn't even pause. He was thinking about it. No, I can't do that. No, it is written. You have to think about it. Folks, when the devil tries to distract you from the work of God, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to consider it, weigh in the balance. You know, no, it doesn't matter. Those distractions will come. I thank God that my Jesus, that my Savior, didn't allow the devil to distract him that day. You know, my eternal soul depended on him following through with what he came to do. One little distraction on that day might have cost us our eternity. He didn't give in. He didn't give in. Look back at Nehemiah again. Yet they sent unto me, verse 4, Nehemiah 6, 4. Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sword, and I answered them after the same manner. Verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. The devil doesn't give up easy. I mean, he will try and try and try, and he will not. He's relentless. But we know the Bible talks about his wiles. No, we're not giving in. You got work to do for God. I don't know what great work you're doing. If you're not doing a great work, find something. Amen. Get involved in the work of God. You got to be involved in some way in the work of God. Well, I don't know. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I just, you know, I don't have any special abilities. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I could do anything. How could I get involved in the work of God? I'll tell you how that starts. You walk over to that man right there, your pastor. You say, "Pastor, is there some way I can be involved in the work of God?" Now, after you offer him smelling salts and he gets back up off the floor, he'll find a job for you to do. Now, you might say, "Well, that's not an important job." It's an important job. For the work of God, it's an important job. You might say, "Well, I really need somebody to run the vacuum." Hey, okay, I'll do it. For God, I'll do it. Now, that's the most important thing I have to do this week is run the vacuum down at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I've got some leeway. I don't have to do it at a particular time, but I've got to get it done before Sunday. Nothing's going to distract me from that. It's a work for God. It's a great work for God. It's a great work, yeah. Well, what would you think if you came in and the place was dirty? Well, there's nobody even cares about keeping, you know, about running a vacuum. Nobody, obviously, they don't care here. I think I'll go somewhere else. No, we want this place looking sharp for the Lord and for our visitors. It's a great work. And I can't get distracted. Yeah, but I this came and that happened and you know, I got an opportunity to make a few extra bucks. And well, you should have done it. You shouldn't have waited till Saturday evening. I got no problem with you working Saturday night, make a few extra bucks, but you should have got the thing vacuumed on Thursday or Friday morning. Or why did we wait till Saturday night? We're not going to let the devil distract us. Find a work to do. Maybe it's shoveling the snow. Maybe it's handing out gospel tracts. You know, maybe it's joining a choir. I don't know. I mean, helping out in the office. Something we can do. Get a work to do for God. I talked about the bus ministry, and I love the bus ministry. I do. I wish I could be involved in the bus ministry. Obviously, I can't. I'm never at my home church, you know. But it may not be a bus. It may be a van or whatever. But you know those things break down. Cost a lot of money to take them to the mechanic every time they break down. Cost a lot of money to run a ministry like that. Maybe you got a special knack at turning a wrench and you could help keep that van going for the glory of God. Maybe you'd say, "Pastor, if you find somebody to drive the bus, I'll be the guy to keep it on the road." He won't forget that too soon, I guarantee you. Amen? There's always a work for you to do. And then don't let the devil distract you. Let's stand with heads bowed. Father, we thank you for Emmanuel Baptist. Thank you for these folks. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to use them for your glory. Lord, I got to believe most of them are involved in the work in some way or another. My Lord, I pray that they'd not be easily distracted by the devil. Even this simple thing of knowing the Word of God, reading our Bibles every day, taking some time to pray every day. Lord, the devil tried to get us off track and never get around to it. The answer is always the same. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Bless our invitation now, we pray, in Christ's name.